Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. He has blessed us with a beautiful day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather here for worship, we do want to remind you of many opportunities we have coming up, starting this afternoon with many of our age group ministries. I do want to remind our children and our families that our children will be going this afternoon at 2 o'clock to get the Gibsonville Fall Festival. They'll be going to visit a scarecrow village at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you've never been to a scarecrow village, you can be a young at heart and go with our kids at 2 o'clock, right, Gay? There is no age limit on this. So this is at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that will be the activity for this afternoon, this evening, for our children, 2 to 4 o'clock this afternoon for our children. Now, our youth and adults will meet at our normal time this evening, consuming fire at 5:30 for our youth, 5:45 for the study, Why Revival Tarries. Jeff will continue leading in that discussion tonight, so we'll remind our other group meetings that will be this evening. Also want to remind our ministry teams that the newsletter articles for this upcoming month are due in the office today. So if you have something that you would like to put in the October newsletter, make sure you send those to Janice today. Write those up, send them by email. She will be working on the newsletter this week and trying to get those articles processed. So please make sure you get those to Janice this week, preferably today. Also want to remind our senior adults, we are going on our Fun and Fellowship trip to Greensboro on Tuesday. We'll be going to the Greensboro Historical Museum, also going to the Gateway Gardens, a chance to walk through the gardens there. Beautiful, wonderful opportunity. So the weather's supposed to be very nice on Tuesday. And we'll also enjoy a time of lunch as well. So if you want interested in this trip, there are sign-up sheets in the Communication Center. There's also sign-up sheets in the Sunday School classes. So if you're interested in that trip, please sign up today. I want to make sure we get the head count today, by the end of the day today, so we have enough room on the bus for this trip. I also want to remind you about next Sunday, and Paul will be coming up to talk about one of the events taking place at the beginning of this next Sunday morning, but I'm going to be talking about the worship service next Sunday. This summer, our youth had an opportunity to go on a mission trip to Chattanooga, Tennessee, almost 2 months ago to the date next Sunday, and our youth will be coming to share about that mission opportunity that they had, and they want to share some of the experiences they had. So next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our worship service is going to be a little bit different. It is starting at 11, and my goal is to be out at 12, but they're going to come and share. We've got a team of 10 that went on our mission trip, and they want to share some of their experiences that they had in Chattanooga this summer. So please come out next Sunday morning to listen to their stories, listen to the individuals they got a chance to meet in Chattanooga, and listen to some of the other youth groups we got to work alongside and experience the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee this summer. So next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock will be our worship time. The youth will be leading in worship next Sunday. There's many other things going on in the life of our church between now and then, and they're in the newsletter, and you'll see it other places. But those are the things I wanted to point out today. I also don't want to forget, you saw this in the new in the bulletin last Sunday, the Stu volunteer form. These little sheets are still circulating around all over the church. I saw some on the table this morning. There's some in the Sunday school classrooms as well. If you did not sign up to volunteer for the Brunswick Stew coming up in October, I want to encourage you to write your name on this, drop this in the offering plate, stop by, drop it in the office. You can give it to Paula, you can give it to Jimmy, you can give it to one of the staff members. We will make sure it gets to who needs to go to, but that is coming up in the near future. So many other opportunities coming up in the life of our church. Make sure you check those out and see where you can get involved in the coming weeks and months. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, let us turn in God's Word to Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We gather here this day in the presence of God, And with that, being in the presence of God, we gather in peace. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for your presence this day. And because we are in your presence, we can rejoice. Father, that is why we've gathered here in worship. And may the songs that we sing, the prayers that we lift, the thoughts that we have, reading your word this day, and being in your very presence, may we rejoice. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your presence this day. Father, thank you. Thank you for being your servant. Father, thank you. Thank you for guiding our worship this day. Thank you for moving in this congregation. Thank you for changing us in the midst of this worship hour this day, because we will not leave the same as we arrived. Father, we thank this. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, who has changed us and continues to change us, and who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, hymn number 425, He Keeps Me Singing. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Please stand.
There within the heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, be still, in it love without bound flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
Hello, it's me again. I am here to remind you about the Deacon Breakfast that's coming up next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Our Sunday school, a couple of the adult Sunday school classes are doing a study on shows from the Andy Griffin Show. And one we did today, when it talked about encouragement. So I would like to encourage you. Our homework was to go out and encourage somebody, so I'm doing my homework triple right now. I would like to encourage you to come on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Breakfast, home-cooked food, all kinds of good stuff. Now, the Krispy Kreme donut holes won't be home-cooked, but everything else is. We'd like for you to come into the fellowship hall and stay with us and meet your deacon. Some of you already know who your deacon is. You should be, if you haven't already, you should be getting a letter from your deacon some within the next couple of days. And come and meet your deacon and have some fellowship time with the rest of the people here at church. We'll be, have you out in time to go to Sunday school at 9:45, we promise. And while I'm up here, I'm going to reiterate what David was talking about, and that's the stew. We still need some callers, if you would be willing, at your leisure time. I have the list already ready with the phone numbers on it. All you have to do is call and ask them how many quarts of stew they want to buy or order. And if you would like to help me out with that or help the team out with that, we would really appreciate it, because Jimmy and I don't want to have to sit down and call four sheets of people. we don't want to make, we want to encourage you to get involved. How about that? I encouraged again. Okay. So thank you so much. We appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Paula. Our offertory hymn this morning is probably one of my favorite hymns, Victory in Jesus. Let's stand and let's sing. Norma said, pick it up, Jamie.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me beneath the cleaving blood.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful and grateful hearts, thankful for this beautiful day and the opportunity to be in your house to worship, and grateful hearts for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And as we bring our offering this morning, we ask that you bless not only the gift, but the giver. And we pray that our gifts will be used to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Be seated. you go. Thank you. Wherever you are. I kept hearing music from behind me. By the way, I have five today. Where's your five? One day you're going to fool me and you're going to bring somebody with you and we'll have a packed house. Get to work. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the songs. Victory in Jesus is probably one of my top three. Some of you folks been around here a long time remember back when Moses and I were in seminary together. My church history professor started every class with Victory in Jesus. We sang it. And you know, that man never opened his mouth, but we sang every day. Kind of get used to that. And it was good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of worship and for fellowship among your people. We thank you for the various ways that you speak to us. And we pray that we would have ears to listen, minds to be receptive, and hearts to follow you. Lord, in a world of strife and discord and anger, we pray for peace. The peace that only Christ can bring into a heart and to a life. We pray for those who are experiencing health problems, that you would bring healing according to your goodwill. For those who have experienced loss in the past days, may your comfort be ever present. Lord, for those who are struggling with decisions and anxiety and worries, may we cast all of our cares on you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now, that we would be encouraged by your holy word this hour. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. You'll never guess where we're going today. It's Acts. It's on the horizon. We'll be finished sometime at the end of October, maybe the 1st of November. Chapter 9, beginning with verse 20, or the end of 19. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished, and they asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" And yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. And when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. You know, someone once said, never trust a politician. And from the looks of things in our day, most people in this country believe that. We don't seem to trust our elected leaders anymore, and sometimes rightfully so. Are there people in this world that you don't trust? People in your community, maybe even in your family. Are there people you don't trust? Think of somebody you would not want to lend any money to, or allow them to drive your car, or babysit your child, or keep your secret. Who is the least trustworthy person that you know? Of course, sometimes we don't trust anyone, do we? Lots of us don't. Usually trust comes, or the lack of trust comes out of a bad experience that we've had. We don't trust people who have hurt us or maybe hurt one of our family members. We don't trust people who have failed because we're afraid they will fail in the future. To the first century believers, at the top of their list of people that they did not trust was a man named Saul of Tarsus. When he claimed to have been converted to become a Christian, it just sounded far too amazing for them to believe. Some thought it was a trick so Saul could arrest more of the believers. After all, he had already done so. He had arrested, imprisoned, and murdered too many followers of Jesus to not be afraid of him. Any reasonable person would think it would be foolish to trust a man such as Saul. Just think for a minute. If any famous anti-Christian terrorist today claimed to have been converted to Christ, would we be likely to invite him to preach next Sunday at First Baptist? No, we certainly would not. Saul, persecutor of Christians, claimed that he saw a light from heaven and heard a loud voice, the voice of Jesus, converting him to become a believer in Jesus. His story is recorded in the first 19 verses of Acts chapter 9. After he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was converted, Saul spent several days among the disciples in Damascus, and he began to preach in the synagogues. The Jews didn't have any reason to distrust him because he was after the Christians anyway. But Saul didn't preach against the Christians. No, he preached for Jesus, and he was powerful and persuasive in his preaching. But here's a question for you. How did Saul so quickly know so much that he could persuasively argue for Jesus as Messiah? How did he learn all that so fast? Well, I think he already knew all the arguments for Jesus as well as the arguments against Jesus. He knew the Old Testament promises. He knew the prophecies of the Messiah as well or better than the Christians he was persecuting. He just didn't believe those arguments until Jesus converted him on the road to Damascus. You know, contrary to what passes off as debates in our political realm these days, they're not really debates, they're two-hour commercials. People on high school or college debate teams have to be prepared to argue either side of a question. And sometimes they don't even know which side they have to argue until they come to the debate itself. I think Saul, whom we know as Paul, knew both sides so well that he could argue that Jesus was a fake Messiah or that Jesus was the Son of God. When he was converted, he believed in Jesus. Because you know, before that, he believed against Jesus. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was converted to believe in Jesus. Saul was so well informed, and then he was transformed by the power of God. It didn't take the non-Christian Jews long to figure out that Saul had switched sides. And so they conspired to murder him for believing that Jesus is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, who was crucified and died and was buried and on the third day was raised by the power of God to conquer sin, death, and the grave. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, people like to say, the safest place in the world is to be in the center of God's will. I think maybe Saul would have said the most dangerous place in the world was to be in the center of God's will. Life became much more difficult and dangerous for Saul once he became a believer in Christ. Once he decided to follow Jesus as Lord, things began to be tough for old Saul. You see, he once was the hunter, and he became the hunted. Once he was the murderer, and now they were out to murder him. Thankfully, there were a few who believed in Saul, and so they became his friends, and they helped him to escape. Ancient cities had these huge walls. In fact, some of them were so big that you could take a couple of chariots side by side and race up and down the walls. I remember seeing one on a bridge in Florence, Italy, that was over 1,000 years old, and there were three-story apartments on the wall. That was what it was like in some of those cities. People lived on top of those city walls, so it was apparent that some of these Christians got Saul and they took him to a believer's home that happened to be on top of the wall, and they lowered Saul down in a basket with some ropes. The report in Acts 9 says that Saul went to Jerusalem, but we know that it didn't go right away. And so we have to fill in the timeline, and we have to go to other scriptures. And so Galatians 1:17 says, where Paul wrote, I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. Ancient maps of the area indicate that back then the northwest corner of Arabia wasn't very far from the city of Damascus. Saul escaped from Damascus into the Arabian desert, and he stayed there for perhaps as much as 3 years, and then he returned to Damascus, and then he journeyed on to Jerusalem. The question is, why did God send him to the Arabian desert? Didn't God want Saul to become the great missionary in the Roman Empire? Why wait 3 years to get started? Seems like a waste of time, doesn't it? Well, some scholars say it was to get direction and instruction from God. Remember that Saul was not a believer. So he wasn't a disciple. He wasn't a follower of Jesus. He was not connected to those who were taught by Jesus for 3 years when he went around doing good. And so what happened is that Jesus then trained him while he was in the desert for 3 years. And there's a great principle here for all of us. God takes time to get us ready for what he calls us to do. Saul spent 3 years getting ready for what God had in mind for him to do. And finally then, he was ready to go to Jerusalem. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this, and it seems to me that Jerusalem was a strange place for Saul to go. There was a whole empire of possibilities awaiting Saul. Remember, the Jews in Jerusalem were persecuting Christians and considered Saul to be a traitor, one group against him. And then the Christians in Jerusalem had been persecuted, arrested, and imprisoned by Saul, and so they absolutely did not trust Saul. You would think then that both sides who are against Saul, why in the world would he want to go back to Jerusalem? Why didn't he go somewhere else and get a fresh start? Saul was rejected by the Christians in Jerusalem. They didn't trust him. They didn't like him. They were scared to death of him, and rightfully so. But then came a fella called Barnabas. We have met Barnabas in the past. His name means encourager. There are several stories about Barnabas in the New Testament, and if you read them, you will discover that all of those stories are positive stories. He is described in Acts 11:24 as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Wouldn't you like to be described like that? Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. You know, some people always see the worst in others. Barnabas saw the best. Some people hold grudges for past behavior. Barnabas held out hope for future blessing. Some people are always looking for trouble, and Barnabas always looked for good. Thank God for Barnabas. You know, we have plenty of skeptics in our world who are untrusting and afraid, and we need more men and women like Barnabas who encourage and bless others. Good Sunday school lesson. Barnabas introduced Saul to the church, and he vouched for him. Even with his ugly past, Barnabas vouched for Saul. And Saul was accepted into the church and became a formidable force for the cause of Christ in Jerusalem. With his Greek background and his training as a rabbi, Saul was a master at explaining how Jesus was the Messiah sent by God. But, there's always a but, there were some religious Jews who were not persuaded by the preaching of Saul. To the contrary, they were upset and they were angry at what Saul taught, and so they conspired to murder Saul. It seems like everywhere the man went, somebody was out to get him. The Christians, who initially had rejected Saul, decided to protect him. The leaders of the church took him and marched him from the hill country of Jerusalem down to the Mediterranean seaport city of Caesarea, put him on a boat, and shipped him back to Tarsus, where he came from. They didn't do it to be ugly. They did it to protect him. They recognized God's hand on Saul's life, and they didn't want to lose him to some angry anti-Christian murderer. So they sent him away. Sometimes Christians need to stay and fight. Sometimes we need to cut and run. This time, Paul, as he was later called, just needed to get out of town until the controversy settled down. Once Saul left Jerusalem, everybody breathed a little easier. Verse 31 says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of God." That's a good, good verse. And it tells us a lot. You see, peace is good. Peace is good. Almost every book of the New Testament calls Christians to seek peace, to love peace, to live in peace with others. But some people really love controversy. Even Christians enjoy a good fight. And it's a shame, because the truth is that the church flourishes not in conflict, but in peace. That's how the church grows, in peace. The leaders encouraged Saul to get out of town, and he was willing to leave in order that there might be peace in the area. The church enjoyed a time of peace that brought strength, and it brought encouragement, and it brought spiritual and numerical growth to the church. All of this is a good story, and it's a true story. It's about what God did to get Christianity started a long time ago. But you and I know that the Bible isn't just for 2,000 years ago. The Bible is for today. It has application for our lives every day. And so let's finish up this morning with some lasting lessons from Acts 9 that will help you and I to live in our day in this time. Lesson number one, you can write them down. God can change anyone. Always where we start. God can change anyone. If God can change anti-Christian, violent, angry, murderous Saul into a Christian and a saint, then he can change anybody. God can change you, no matter what your past, no matter how young or how old you are. God can change you, and he can prepare you to serve in his kingdom. Lesson number two. Conversion may be dramatic, but change takes time. Saul was converted in a blazing light with Jesus talking out loud, but he needed 3 years in the desert to be changed into the man that God wanted him to be by the power of God himself. So don't be surprised if God puts you in a desert. He might want to change you a little bit and prepare you. Change and preparation take time. Lesson three, to follow up on Paul's sermon, be a Barnabas. See the promise and potential in other people. In fact, I want you to, where you're sitting there, think about one person you would like to encourage this week. And then don't put it off. Sit down and give them a call. Write them a note. Send them a text. Send them an email. Encourage that person this week. When I get back from my trip, I'm going to ask you if you did it. I've already done mine for the day. Be a Barnabas. Lesson number 4, seize the peace. You know, a lot of people use the Latin phrase carpe diem, which means seize the day. But I think we need to use the phrase carpe pax, which means seize the peace. When God gives good times, when God gives quiet times, when God gives peaceful times, seize the peace and grow strong. Be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Grow spiritually. Don't be someone who only grows close to God in times of crisis. Seize the peace that God gives to you. Then you, friend, can become someone that God trusts to carry out His blessings in this world. Let God change you. Let God change you. Give your life to Christ today. Let God prepare you for service in His kingdom. Might take some time. Let Him do it. Be an encourager of others for Jesus' sake, and you'll reap the benefits too. Seize the peace of Christ and grow stronger as a follower of Jesus each day. So I invite you to come for salvation and baptism, for rededication, for church membership by letter or statement this morning. Let God change you and grow you for His service in His kingdom today. Let's sing.